It's because of sports, I challenge myself every day to get better and make those around me better as well.
Welcome to It's Because of Sports, the podcast exploring the journeys of athletes, coaches, and professional women, from competition to careers beyond the game, where sports means life for athletes, fans, and anyone navigating what's next. I'm your host, Steph Z, and today's guest is Mikayla George, a standout defender whose journey has taken her from Santa Clara University to the NWSL with OL Reign to international experiences in Denmark and Portugal. Known for her grit, adaptability, and leadership on and off the pitch, Mikayla's story reflects the resilience it takes to chase your dreams in professional sports. She opens up about the highs, the challenges, and the lessons she's carrying forward from her soccer career. Welcome to the show, Mikayla. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm great. So nice to talk to you today.
I know. I'm so glad. You know, we did one of our Section Z events over at AEG's crypto.com arena, and you were on one of the panels, and it was really amazing to hear some about your past, some about, you know, your journey through being a professional athlete and now working with some of the most amazing and powerful women at AEG. So we wanted to dig a little bit deeper and hear a little bit more about your backstory. If you could kind of like, you know, start us out, little Mikayla playing soccer, like, was it your first love as a sport? Like, what happened?
My first love of soccer started literally the day that I was born. My dad was playing professional soccer for, I believe it was Tampa Bay at the time when I was born.
Oh, wow.
So when, honestly, I think my first game as a baby was when I was like a week old, 2 weeks old. So I've been in and around the soccer world since I could open my eyes. It has been the breathing, living life force in our family. So there really wasn't another option for me other than soccer.
Now, what was that like? And if I get too personal, you can always shut me down, but do you have any siblings?
I have three younger sisters.
Okay. So you were the first. So was there a lot of like expectation or was it all just exciting? And like, what was it like? Did you travel around a lot as a kid with a professional athlete as a dad? Like, tell it like, this is juicy. This didn't even come out on the panels.
Oh, we're just scratching the surface on the
panel. I know. I love it.
Get into the nitty gritty. I'll start a little bit before I was born. Before my dad played professional soccer, he went to UCLA. He won a national championship. The MLS hadn't started yet. So he was playing in the indoor league, the professional indoor league, until he was about 25, 26. Went to the MLS combine, got picked up by Boston Revolution at the time. And then, you know, picked up my mom, picked everything up, and then moved across country. They're originally from LA, Orange County folks, and moved to the East Coast and started their lives on the East Coast as a professional athlete. And as I'm sure you're aware, MLS the first year wasn't as glamorous as it is now.
Probably not. Maybe it took a minute.
It was a starter league and they ran with it. He played until he was 31, and then owns his own company now and does the thing. But so I was like 3 or 4 by the time he stopped. But so I don't really remember what that life is like, but I have all these adorable pictures of me hugging him after games and meeting up with them post-match and him holding me during post-game interviews. So it's been a part of my life since forever, before I can remember.
Wow. That's so interesting. There's so much to unpack here now because, number one, I feel like, you know, as we talk to some of the NWSL players and some of the other, like, women's leagues that start up and then maybe folded. Like, I don't know, we had Jasmine Spencer on and she's almost been like at the beginning of like all the different women's leagues, you know? Yeah. And it's like interesting because I'm sure that the startup of MLS was probably looked a little bit different than NWSL. I'm sure there's like more funds, resources, et cetera.
Yeah.
But does he still like go to games now? Is he kind of like over it? Like, is he still super into it?
Oh no. Every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning, waking up at home when I was growing up, EPL was on.
Oh, wow.
So he loves the game, loves the lifestyle of it. We still go to LA Galaxy games all the time. He's got a, what's it called? Not a membership, a ownership or stake in it.
Oh, and, wow. Kind of like a membership, but just, you know.
Season passes is what I'm trying to
say. Season tickets.
Not ownership. So very integrated in our lives, still loves it, in and around that world. I feel like once you're in that world, it's hard to get out.
Yeah.
And all of his friends are still a part of it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So now, so back to you, like, did you, like, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, like, was there a standard to live up to having your dad be a professional soccer player?
Yes. It was being the eldest daughter, the eldest cousin on both sides. There was a level of commitment that needed to, that was required to, you know, succeed. And honestly, no one else was paving the way for me other than what the insight that my dad had to this world. And he was my harshest critic, but my biggest fan. And I valued ever at the time, I didn't value everything that he was saying to me because I was naive and didn't want to be in the heart of it.
Yeah.
You know, like after a game, knowing that you sucked and knowing that you played poorly and like having him go down the line of like why you sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. You know, it's tough in the moment.
It's tough. It's really, there's seasons where it's, you know, you have a bad game. Okay. You have a bad game, but how does that affect your next game? And how do you have a short-term memory and take those learnings from that game and apply it to the next game to keep getting better? Sometimes it was hard to digest those hard things that he was saying and apply to the next one. But the older I get and the more mature I get, I realize how valuable that was. So there was a level of expectation of a level of, you know, excellence that needed before I could, you know, keep going to the next phase of each level.
Now, I would imagine that you had friends when you played when you were little, right? I would imagine. Like, I mean, I feel like, and I say that because I feel like there's so much data and like even me, myself, like I know, like I'm still really close friends with the people that I played even on like a high school level sport. You know what I mean? Were you ever aware or did you ever think that you got harsher criticism because of that? And was that a tough thing?
It's funny that you say that because my dad, being the harsh critic that he was also a outstanding coach.
Was he your coach?
No.
Okay.
Which honestly was for the best because he was a mentor on the side. So my coach would be on this side and he would be on this side. And he was a master of the game on a mental high level. He would look at my opponent and go, keep going down line, keep going down line, or like cut inside, whatever. So like, whatever coaching tactics he had for me, he would also apply it to my teammates.
Yeah.
My teammates ate it up. The way that he delivered it, they were like, oh my God, you're so right. I'm just going to make a simple pass and like get out of the back, whatever. So yes, he was a harsh critic, but also an outstanding coach, not only for me, but for my friends, my teammates, whatever. They idolized what he had to say in his opinion, especially on the field.
Yeah. What do you think makes an outstanding coach?
That is an outstanding question. An outstanding coach is somebody who sees your weaknesses and turns them into strengths and isn't afraid to be hard on you when you need it. And I, to this day, I think one of the best coaches I've ever had is Jerry Smith. And that man is from Santa Clara. And that man is not afraid to call you out in film sessions, not afraid to call you out in individual meetings and with film and say, you need to be here for this reason, this reason, this reason, and it's affecting this, your teammate here. Like, you know, I thrive on real criticism that's only making me better. Probably because my dad and the way that I grew up, but Jerry Smith and the way that he coached was, I couldn't have asked for a better college coach. And the way that he understood the game and instilled it into our personnel as a team was the one of the highest level coaching tactics and professional environment that I've been a part of, to be honest.
That's so awesome. I feel like coaching is so, so important. And there's, you know, these conversations of, you know, what's too hard and, you know what I mean? Like, And it's interesting because I kind of agree with you. Like, I'm a tough love type person when it comes to sports, you know? And I remember you brought up this memory for me, one of my coaches, and I'm still friends with her and she'll know it when she listens who she is. But one of my high school coaches, I remember, like, it was tough love. It was like, keep going. You know what I mean? Like, you got this, keep going. And I remember one time I was running until my knees, I was like, coach, my knees bother me. Not keep running. And I'm like, no, my knees bother me, until I'm like in tears. And I like went and I actually like hurt my knee bad. And I was in physical therapy, you know what I mean? But it was like so funny because I do feel like there's a lot of question or talk about like, what is coaching? And I tend to agree with you. Like, I'm not a fan of this like participation trophy and this era of, and you know, people might get upset that I say that, but I'm not afraid of, I'm not afraid of that, but I'm also like, I'm not a fan of like, you get credit just for showing up. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like more and more, and as, you know, things get more and more competitive as well. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have to keep that bar high and we have to have those coaches. But again, like what you said about Jerry and about your dad, it's like having those coaches go through those classes, understanding those people skills and understanding how to talk to people, you know what I mean? Because you can't just scream and yell either. You know, and I feel like more and more and more, and you even see it at like kids, like Little League games and stuff. Like, that's the most insane thing that I've ever seen. Some of these parents are screaming at the top of their lungs, whether it be at the ref, their kid, whatever.
Right.
And like, I honestly think that that's a problem of parents living vicariously through their kids. Like, they wish that they were still there or they didn't make it. Yes. Or, you know, there's something more to that than just like screaming at your kid when you're playing Little League. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I think that there's a lot of conversations around that. Like, you show up at ballparks now and it says, like, I remember one, I'm from New York. So like when I went to like kids games, like whether it be my nephews or family friends or whatever, it's like, your kid's not on the New York Yankees. Remember that at like the Little League park, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that, which is crazy that we have to have it, but it's, you know, really interesting. Okay. So then you're playing in Santa Clara, right? And then like, what happened next? Like, what was the first, you know, moment where you're like, wow, I'm going to play in the professional league?
That moment came towards the end of my junior year, heading into my senior year. I had a bit of, like, somebody kicked me in the butt and said, you can do this. And it was Brandi Chastain. And Brandi is somebody who has been in my corner since the day I stepped on campus at Santa Clara, and I played right back. She played right back for the World Cup, Olympics. Like, her resume is insane. I can go down the list of accomplishments that she has, but somebody that I just idolized to the fullest. And she came up to me during preseason my senior year and was like, you can do this. You can go, you can play at the professional level, you can play overseas, whatever you want to do, you have the work rate, just get after it, basically. And it was like this revolutionary moment for me and pivotal moment of, okay, unveil the curtains, now it's time to go. And I've already had that in my mind of, okay, what am I going to do after this senior year of mine? And once her and I had that conversation, I was like, I'm playing professional soccer. Why get after it?
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, hearing from one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
What about what Brandi Chastain said to you gave you that confidence? Because was she still playing in college? No, she was out of college then.
She's my coach.
She was your coach?
Yes. So her and Jerry Smith are married. Brandy's the volunteer assistant at Santa Clara. And what struck a chord in me was I'd known she'd seen a lot of soccer. She's watched a lot of players play. She's been around the world, played on the highest stages, and she saw something in me that I necessarily didn't see in myself at that point in my life. And she, a sense, like woke a beast in me. And from that moment on, I was full steam ahead into what professional sports was going to be like for me, my career.
That's so amazing. And I feel like that's so much of what we need to give each other. And again, that was kind of a little bit of like how you said, kind of like a kick in the ass, like get after it. It's not like, oh, you'll be okay. You know, like sometimes that encouragement in a strong way is exactly kind of what you need. Wow, that's a pretty epic story.
It's a good one.
That's a good one. That definitely didn't come out on the panel.
No. No, I'm telling you, we're just scratching the surface on the panel.
We're going to be here for 2 days. All right. So then what's next? Like, how do you, someone approach, well, that happened your junior year. And then what was the path next?
So I finished my senior year. We had a great year. A lot of great players made a great run into the tournament. And after that, I didn't get drafted. I had a few chances to try out for teams. I had 3 or 4 teams reaching out asking me to come for preseason. So that January to February, March time, I graduated and moved all of my stuff home to then go to preseason for Seattle Reign in March. And the same week that I moved everything up is the same week that the world shut down because of COVID.
Oh, wow. That sucks. Really sucks. But wait, time out. I feel like you missed something. You just showed up at preseason? Like, how did you get to preseason at the Seattle Reign?
I skipped a few steps. I got an agent. I created a video of myself, a highlight reel, if you will.
Oh, I want to see that highlight reel. You got to send it my way.
I will send you a YouTube link.
There you go. We'll post it.
As well as kind of like a cover page of my accomplishments thus far. And Jerry, my agent, all worked on my behalf to get me looks from professional coaching staffs and teams. And I had 3 or 4 reaching out saying that they wanted me to, that they were really interested in me and wanted me to come out. But that same year, my best friend and roommate was drafted in the first round. So,
oh, wow.
By Seattle Reign. So I knew they had been watching me. I knew that they obviously had seen how I play and my team, and they just had drafted my best friend. Of course, I'm going to go follow my best friend.
Totally.
And put a preference on that. And a few weeks later, we were at preseason together with Seattle Reign.
That's amazing. I mean, how important do you think it was that your best friend was already drafted to Seattle? If she wasn't, do you think you might have considered a different team?
That's a great question. No, I think the way that Seattle, they had amazing players. They had a Megan Rapinoe. They had a great coaching staff at the time. And I felt like Sofia Huerta had just been drafted there, who is also a Santa Clara Bronco alum favorite, that Danny Witherholt just had been traded there. I was like, there's such a strong Santa Clara tie to that team that I felt it was, all the pieces were clicking into place with that move, and it just felt right compared to the other teams.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, you got to naming again some of the all-time greats with the Brandi Chastain, the Megan Rapinoe, just you know, casually dropping those in here. So you get to Seattle, and then how long is it before you go on loan? Right? You went on loan from Seattle. Like, can you tell us, first of all, can you tell us what that means? Because I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know, not misunderstanding, but like there's a, you know, we as the fan, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but me as a fan, you hear a player's traded, a player goes on loan, and you don't really know what it means for the player, for the club. You know, we recently here in LA just had a big Alyssa Thompson was, you know, gone to Chelsea, and everyone says like the money went to Angel City, and there's all like a lot of people are talking about it. So, you know, can you break it down for us? What exactly, you know, going on a loan and being traded from one team to another, how that looks?
Right. There's three verticals that I would say a team can do with a player. There's getting traded. So I look at that as a team within the same league trading a player to the next, and that player gets her rights traded fully to that other team. So that's interleague trading. And then transferred is a team transferring all of those rights and all of those fees outside of the league. So Alyssa Thompson got transferred to Chelsea because Angel City gave all of her rights and all of the fees to a team outside of the NWSL.
Okay. So that's the difference. So that's kind of a similar move, but traded and transferred are two different ones. One's within the league and one's outside the league.
Right. And okay. Then loan. Loan is unique in a sense. So loan is where a team will have a player, but will loan her to another team, whether it's inside the league or outside the league, for an agreed upon extended time. So within that contract. So, for example, when I was at Seattle, I went on loan with a Danish team for 6 months out of my contract, out of a 2-year contract with Seattle. So,
and did you want to do that, or did that just kind of happen? Like, are you in the know, or do you wake up, you know, one day and you're like, okay, I'm going?
Yeah. So COVID hit. I went home for 2 months. Everybody went home because we were like, what are we doing? And then Challenge Cup 2020, the bubble. And the NBA did the same thing, very similar. We all stayed in a hotel in Montana and played at a field, kind of random. And all the teams were at different hotels in the area. And we stayed there for a month. And it was called the Challenge Cup. And it was the inaugural Challenge Cup of what it is today within the league. And after that concluded, we didn't know what the fall was going to look like in 2020. And being a rookie in the league, I was like, I need games. I need consistent games. I need to be challenged. I want to get out of the U.S. because we don't know what's going to happen. And I had done my research, talked to a few teammates of mine, and Europe was still playing full capacity. Like, they were still having their normal season games that I didn't know if the U.S. was going to have. So I asked Seattle, I was like, hey, for my development to get ready for this league and for next season, can I go on loan to another European team to get consistent games where I'm being challenged and fit into a system that is similar to the one of Seattle's, but also in a new environment that would challenge me. So I had asked for the loan because I didn't know what the fall was going to look like in the NWSL.
That's really bold. Yeah. Like, that's a really, really bold move that you asked for the loan because you wanted to play consistently to get better. I don't think many people, especially at such an uncertain time, would have done that. So I applaud you for doing that. That's really, you know what I mean? You're like, I don't know what's happening in this country. No one knew what was happening in the world.
Right.
You're like, I don't know what's happening with my career. My best friends are here. Did any of your friends go with you?
No, I went by myself.
Wow. Look at that's awesome. So yeah, I mean, wow, like in such an uncertain time to be able to keep your focus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how were you able to keep your focus in such an uncertain time and make that choice to request a loan?
I had a lot of guidance from the people in my corner. My dad was a huge advocate for playing in Europe and because he never got to, and he thought it was an amazing opportunity to challenge me. And for the experience, I wouldn't trade those 6 months in Denmark for the world. I met some of the most incredible wow. people, teammates. I mean, everybody was on lockdown still. So we bonded incredibly faster than if we were bouncing around to other places. And it was some of the best 6 months, even in the darkest of times.
Wow. That's really amazing. Wow. So 6 months goes, mm-hmm. and then are you like, I'm ready to come home? Or was it just for 6 months? Or did you have say, or how did that work out?
So I knew. So my contract, my loaned contract was from June 2020 to December 2020. So January 1st, I was back on OL Reign's payroll.
Okay.
So like that was the entirety of my Danish contract. And it was amazing because I stayed until basically right up until Christmas at that time because we played in Champions League. And we played in Slovenia for the first leg of Champions League. And then it was incredible. Scored two goals away.
Would you say you scored what?
I scored a few goals away at their. It was probably one of the craziest games I've ever been a part of.
That's so awesome.
Came back and was ready to go for preseason. And I think it was like February 1 when we had to report. But it was incredible.
Wow. And then reporting back, like what was the feeling, you know, that because nobody else had been playing, correct? Like, were you the only?
They had, it was like friendly games. It was like four or five like friendly interleague games. But nothing compared to a full season or a league play whatsoever.
Wow.
So like no one was really doing that much in the U.S. at that point. And then when I came back, it was, okay, 2021 season is happening. We're all systems go. Preseason is back on. Let's run. Let's go.
Wow. And then you weren't at that team for that much longer. Right.
I was there for the whole season.
Okay.
21.
Okay.
And I didn't renew my contract. And then I went to Portugal that second half of 2022. We're skipping over a lot, but
Tell us, fill us in. What are we missing? What are we missing that we shouldn't be?
That whole 2021 season was the first year after COVID. Everybody was figuring it out still. My current coach had gotten fired and.
Oh, yes, I remember. So wait, time out. I've seen you play then because you guys must have played against Angel City, right?
Angel City was not a part of the league yet.
In 2021?
Yeah. I think they were 20, their inaugural season.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 2022 was the first season.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, because mm-hmm. I'm a season ticket holder. And I remember going to all the games that first year. And I was like, oh, my God. And I remember them playing because I remember, you know what I mean? That would have been. So I just missed you.
No, you just missed me. Maybe because I was playing for, we'll get to that point.
We'll get to that. Yeah, because then you went back and played for the Houston Dash.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But so what happened there? What happened? Was there some, like, politicking over at the Seattle Reign? You guys, you know, changed coaches?
So that summer was a World Cup year.
Okay.
And so we had a long break that summer. And within that break, we had a coaching change or a coaching shift. My current coach at that time had gotten fired. Laura Harvey had gotten brought in. And she obviously is a different coach, different perspectives, different outlook. Yeah. And it's crazy because she had already been the coach. So she was like one of the first coaches to ever coach Seattle, then went with the national team. Fareed came in, Fareed left, she came back. So she had already been ingrained within Seattle's system.
That's interesting.
Reintroducing herself back into the equation. And she's still there now and is doing well. And that adjustment period. So we went through like a huge shift mid-season, and the later half of 2021 was not how I thought it was going to shake out to be for me personally and for my career. And
that's how so?
I was let go from the team before playoffs. So I hadn't been playing as much at that fall. And I had a feeling that things, you know, I wasn't going to renew and I wasn't going to continue with the reign the next season, but it got cut short. And hardships, I had to figure out what that next step was like for me and whether I was going to go back to Europe to play or get traded within another team within the league. But figuring out what that next phase was like. So the end of 2021 was a little bit more challenging than I had anticipated it to be for me.
And how do you deal with the moments that are challenging that kind of show up out of nowhere?
I really lean into my support system, my family, my friends. Obviously, I had grown such a beautiful community within my teammates while I was there. And I'm still friends with them to this day. I love and adore them. Leaning into them and, you know, trying to get through that next phase of life without dawning on the hard. Again, yeah. I mean, from that notion of having a short-term memory to then propel you to that next phase, learning, growing, doing your thing, but also not dwelling on it, helped me get over that hardship.
Yeah. And it is, I think that, you know, we've mentioned it a few times, like family bonding. I feel like sports creates such a strong sense of community.
Right.
Because you are going through all of those things with these people day in and day out, you know, like you're celebrating the highs and like picking each other up from the lows. So I think that that's something that's, you know, really, really interesting. And sports kind of, I think, does that differently than anything else.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, whether it's an injury, a hard conversation with a coach, or dealing with family things, I think your teammates are the ones that you go to war with and you put your life on the line for. And even that translates to off the field. Like, you're going to be there for them no matter what the circumstances. And I know that I could call up any teammate of mine and they do and be there for me, whatever I would need. So that it doesn't just go away.
No, it doesn't. I think that that's lifelong. I think it's a lifelong bond and it's a lifelong friendship, a lifelong teammate, which is pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what next? I feel like it's story time. Story time with Michaela.
Story time. And then end of 2021, going into 2022, I signed a contract with a Portuguese team, Braga.
Okay.
And so the European season works where it starts in the summer, not the winter. So they had already started their season in August. So they were already 6 months in. So I came in halfway and I jumped on a moving train basically. Like, everything was all systems go over there, and I just came in and, like, was a little screw.
Right, right.
And that was a beautiful time of my life. I played every minute of every game. We won a Portuguese League Cup.
Oh, that's awesome.
This season. It was.
Now, was that one of your choices? Were you like, I want to go back overseas? Or did that, like, how did it happen that you went back overseas?
I felt, because I had such a great experience with my Danish team, I was like, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. I feel like there, I could give more to the European soccer community and more to that part of my career. And Braga was extremely interested, and I ran with it. I signed a contract, and a week later, I was practicing with them.
Wow.
It happens fast.
I was going to say, how do you deal with the speed of transition that happens in professional sports?
Oh, it is not for the weak. That is a part of the lifestyle that you grow to love or you hate it. And for 3 years, I loved it. And I'm so glad that I did it and while I could. But it was 1 second, you're like, oh, I could live in Portugal. Oh, I could live in Spain. Oh, I could live in Norway. Like, you're just going through the motions of, okay, what will my life be like here? And I'm so glad that Portugal worked out the way that it did.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any things you tell yourself, like, no matter where I am, you know, because, like, when you don't know, is it like, do you have to, you know, are there any things that you can share that you're like, okay, no matter where I am, I'm going to be good, or it doesn't matter? Or do you have to, like, disconnect yourself from it? Like, how do you get through it?
You got to disconnect yourself a little bit and say, okay, this is only a short, certain amount of time of my life that this is going to happen. This isn't forever. I'm not signing my life away. This is only for this amount of time or for however long I want. Go make the most out of it, enjoy it, and realize that it's an incredible opportunity that some people don't ever have. So enjoying that moment in the grand scheme of things, I think, and having that perspective really gave me, you know, it propelled me into that world way easier than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I feel like that it seems very, like, jolting in a way.
Yes.
You know, and I think too, you know, once you even have a contract, like, sometimes things can change within that, right? So, yeah. I mean, like, and this is going to sound so ridiculous, I know this, but, like, what's kind of the point of contracts in professional sports if they can be broken or changed?
Oh, don't get me started.
No, I want to.
I totally agree. And I, you know, now being in this professional world, I realize the importance of contracts, because everything in this world goes by a contract. But for some reason, professional women's soccer contracts are not held to that same standard in a lot of ways.
Do you think they're held to a similar standard as men's, or do you think men's are very different?
I think men's are different.
Mm. How so?
It's interesting because I come from my dad's perspective, who was a professional athlete, who understands what that contract is like, versus now a woman's contract and, you know, what that world is like. And having those two perspectives, it's eye-opening, to say the least.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. And I know that there's been some, like, historical equal pay conversations, and things are moving in the right direction. But, you know, I feel like at some point, like, they got to figure it out and just start treating these ladies the way that they deserve to be treated. You know, like, whether it be the NWSL, the WNBA, like, it's still this conversation, and you know, they're bringing in the crowds. They're doing all the things that they need to once you invest in them and give them the platforms to give them the chance to bring in the crowd. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a sick circle of things that need to happen. But I do feel like we're walking in the right direction. But I think we both agree, and probably a lot of other people agree, that it's just not as fast of a pace as we all think is possible and should be happening.
I mean, even from the moment that I signed my first contract to now, we have made so many strides in the right direction. And it's only been 4 or 5 years. So I can't imagine what 10, 15, 20 years is going to look like down the road. I mean, we've got LA 2028. We've got the World Cup. We've got so much exposure happening in the US here in the next few years that it's only going to pay dividends for women's soccer, and brands are going to want to invest more because athletes are going to have bigger platforms. And it's an exciting time, definitely. Yeah. And it's incredible the groundwork that has already been done to get us to that next level.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I feel like your career, well, okay, then keep going and I'll ask my question after. So you're in Portugal.
I'm in Portugal. I won a championship over there, and then I come back and I
No big deal. Won a championship over there. You're like, okay, I'm out of here.
Because if I'm going to do it, I want to actually do it and like go over there and have a crown on my head and accomplish something and, you know, make it worthwhile. Not saying if I didn't win this championship, I wouldn't have been worthwhile, but it was
totally
like
understood.
The cherry on top. To that 100%. Experience.
Yeah.
And I
especially being like let go from a team that you were kind of excited about being back and being a part of right before playoffs. And then you get to go somewhere else and be part of that championship experience. Yeah. That had to be really exciting.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy what a different team atmosphere and a different coach can do to your career. Yeah. And I felt like in Portugal, I was seen, I was valued, I was enriched with so much confidence that I was like, no one can touch me at this point. I was floating is what it felt like. And just that championship was the cherry on top to it. Like you said, it was such a different change of events within 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that just kind of goes to show you again that sometimes like you might not know what's happening, but as long as you continue to show up, put your best foot forward, commit to it, you know, like something should eventually, I mean, like, listen, I know it's life and it doesn't all just work out that way, but like, you know, that's the mindset that most athletes have. And like, you know, it kind of usually helps, you know, figure it out that way.
Right. And those skills I took to every team and even now to my life outside of soccer, bringing those transferable skills, it's beautiful to see and look back and, you know, see all that hard work pay off with each team.
Yeah. And what do you think the transferable skills from being a professional athlete are that you bring with you to your current job now?
There's quite a few.
Love it. Love it.
I would say grit.
Yeah.
I think showing up every day and wanting to work hard sets you apart from a lot of people, and professional sports, not even professional sports, but even sports in general, having a schedule of like, okay, I'm going to show up today at practice and I'm going to leave better than when I showed up. And I start every day, even now to this point, being like, okay, how can I be better and how can I make my teammates better with me? Because it's not just me, we're a team. And again, teamwork is a huge one. Teamwork, communication, and I would say time management are four really, really big ones that no matter what environment you are in, what environment you're in or professional job you have, you can do well with those four skills.
100%. I agree with you 100%. And I feel like there's a lot of skills that we can teach people, but you can't teach those things. I mean, like, listen, they're ingrained in you from being an athlete. So like, I guess in a way, like you are taught them, but like it's ingrained in you because, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like someone saying like, in order to do this, you need to show up. And what show up means, like, you just get like, I need to show up. You know what I mean? And that's, I think I agree with you. It's so important to take into the workplace and to take into whatever we do next. But I feel like I want to know like what happened after Portugal, after the champ, after the crown. Where's the crown?
So after the crown, I came back and I signed a short-term deal with Houston Dash, where it was another, I'm forgetting, it might have been Copa America or something along those lines, but there was an international break and a lot of international players were out, and there's an opportunity for me to come and jump straight in with Houston Dash and start playing. And they also were going through a coaching change, and there was an interim head coach and they were looking to bring on another head coach. And I was there for 2-3 months. And again, right before playoffs, I was let go. And that was a real heartbreak for me because I was playing really well. I was seeing time. I was doing all the things right, and it still didn't work out. And I was distraught. I was so heartbroken, but I wasn't ready to give up at that point. And I told my agent, I was like, okay, I want to go to Australia. I want to go over there and play. And because their season was just about to start. So they were going into summer right during their preseason. I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this. I was about to sign a contract with Perth over in the W League in Australia, and going back to women's contracts, things didn't work out the way that they were supposed to, and last minute ended up not going. And at that point, it felt like it was like the final dagger in my heart that I was like, maybe it's time to start looking at other things, or like looking at my life from a whole new perspective. And a few months later, I landed this job. But I didn't leave soccer with hatred for the game or lack of love, or honestly, even an injury, which I'm so for. Like, I left fully abled, fully capable. Like, I still was extremely fit. And again, going in, we had talked about it on this panel, but that transition phase was probably the hardest few months of my life.
I was going to say, why did you choose to leave soccer?
I didn't want to go back to Europe. And by the time that I was let go from Houston to when preseason would have started again, it would have been 4 months. And I felt like that was too long to be away and training by myself to be then be ready for another season. And it was the hardest pill in the world to swallow.
Why? Why was it?
One, physically, I could have kept going. That wasn't a problem. And two, telling my dad and telling my support system that I was done probably was the hardest part of it. And again, being the oldest, that I paved this path of professional sports and like being going on in into this career, and then to like pull it short, people didn't understand. They asked questions. They maybe weren't accepting, but to me, it felt right in a certain light. And having to convince people that it was the right decision was maybe more challenging than I had anticipated when I made it.
Wow. Well, again, you know, kudos to you, because I feel like, well, it's interesting, right? Because like I can understand, right? Because, you know, imagining that this was my child or this was my sister, and you see this capable, skillful, talented person, something that they've loved, like seeing them stop, you could think like, oh, why are they giving up? You know what I mean? But I feel like what you're saying and what I'm hearing, actually, maybe not what you're saying, but what I'm hearing is that it wasn't that you gave up. It was that something in you was like, this is, I'm good. Like, this is, like, I need to step away. Like, I made my run. I did what I wanted to do. And, like, I'm ready for the next chapter because this one's not really making me happy anymore.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You couldn't have said it better. And you're right. I wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a happy place. And then from that decision to then land a job at AEG, like, that those 3-4 months were transformative, to say the least.
Yeah.
For
tell me. Tell me about that. How so? Because I feel like, you know, and again, I feel very, I don't know the right word, but I'm privy to so many amazing, strong women that work at AEG. And I feel like, you know, you guys should make a handbook on like what women supporting women should look like, because there's a lot of people say like we're women that support women, but they really don't. They're really still like a musical chairs feeling where like the music's going to stop and let me grab my chair out of somebody else. And you guys are like, no, let's build this bigger table. Very inclusive, really champion each other and of the mentality of like all boats rise, you know? Right. So like, what was that transition like?
That was one, it was a huge identity shift.
Yeah.
I, you know, am not this pro athlete anymore, but I treat myself and act like a professional athlete, even though I'm not competing at the highest level anymore. And on top of an identity shift, figuring out what I wanted to do next. I had no idea. I had no idea what other careers were out there aside from, you know, either playing soccer, but also maybe a coach, maybe being on the back end of a sports team. I had no idea. And I took so many interviews with different companies trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and nothing fulfilled me or nothing excited me the way that sports, music, entertainment did. That when I had an interview with AEG, my first one, I didn't get it.
There you go. What'd you do though? You kept on going.
I kept on going. And they said, you know what? You're not going to get this one. We think you're a great tryout for the studio side.
I love that you just said tryout.
I'm like, I'm ingrained in the sports world.
I know. I love it.
You want me to do the fitness test? Okay. What fitness test needs to happen? Yeah, I felt like every interview was a tryout, and
right. Yeah, it's fair. It's, I mean, like it kind of is.
It is.
Yeah.
Whether it's physical fitness or, you know, your resume and like being able to tell your story. Totally. It's a tryout in a sense.
Yeah.
But I landed this job with AEG Studios, and honestly, it was the best transition from being in front of the camera and being, you know, the talent in a sense to now being a part of a studio where I'm trying to figure out the logistics of the back end of the shoot and relating to the talent in a perspective that maybe not everybody can provide. That was really enticing and cool for my employers and the people that were hiring me, because I didn't have the resume that everybody else had going into this space. Like I maybe only had 2-3 internships in college. Like I wasn't, my resume was not blooming sparkles and everything saying, come hire this girl. I definitely had to get the interview and tell my story the way that, you know, was convincing.
Yeah. Well, and with that, like, because being a professional athlete didn't allow you, so to speak, to have a lot of different accolades on your resume when you were going into the business world. Like, what did you say in that tryout? Like, how did you describe yourself as, you know, fit and obviously not physically fit, but how did you describe yourself as fit for this role in a place where you maybe didn't have a lot of experience?
Right. That is such a good way to put it because I relate to it so much. Being fit for this role, my dad, again, being a mentor to me, not only on the field, but off the field, he was like, the way that you tell your story is going to be the reason that you get hired. Because if you can tell it in a way where you can overcome challenges, you can move across the world and still win championships, you just need to show people that you're reliable. You're going to show up, get the job done. You're going to be personable, be it fun to work with, and you're going to get the job done to make it worth everybody's while to be a part of your team. Like, you want to build a team culture and be an integrated team player that everybody wants you on your team. But yeah, I told a story that they seemed to like.
What was the story? What story did you tell?
This one that I've spent an hour telling you.
Oh, okay. You said the whole story. Okay. I thought it was like a specific story. Like, you gave him a short version of this. Okay, fine. I get it.
A more condensed, more digestible story, but fair. This story nonetheless.
Amazing. I mean, I'd hire you.
Thank you.
Like, yeah. No, but I think it is like in some of the other companies that I've had and stuff, like when I see a resume come across my desk and it says athlete of any, like it doesn't have to be professional athlete, college athlete, just any accolade of being an athlete. And I very much so, you know, tell everyone, I'm an advocate for everyone, no matter what level of sports you play, put that on your resume. I feel like it will make it a really good thing for all employers to see because they want those type of transferable skills. But right. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, again, it kind of made me, you know, a little bit similar, and I'll tell this story really quickly, but, you know, I had a job when I was 16 years old, silk screening t-shirts. And mm-hmm. I was like, I want to have a clothing line one day. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because like, that day did happen, and I used to have a clothing line. I think we talked about this on the panel. I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. I had a high-end clothing line. We sold to, like, Saks and Neiman's, and there I was making, like, $80 t-shirts. It was ridiculous. But people were buying them, so I was like, cool, I'll sell them.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably after, like, 6-7 years, I got to the point where I was like, this isn't fun anymore. Like, the way – and it's all changed now because it's a lot of, like, more online, social media, different. But, like – to be frank, like the ass kissing game you had to do in order to like take the buyers to dinner. And if the male buyer liked your shirts, then the female wouldn't buy it because they right. didn't discover it. Like there was just so much politics that didn't feel like me. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And we sold our clothes in stores that I wasn't even like people would look at me like, what are you doing here when I walked into Neiman Marcus? And I'd be like, I sell a bunch of shirts in here. You know what I mean? So, but it got to that point where like, I felt a similar thing. Like everyone saw my life as like, oh, you have this clothing line, you're traveling the world, this, that, and the other thing. But it became not fun for me. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And we kind of like just stopped, you know, and it was a very interesting transition. And, you know, I've went on to do other stuff that I really liked, but I feel like sometimes like you just know in your gut. And I would argue that gut feeling is something you also learn by having to make choices on the spot and processing so many different things at once when you're an athlete.
I couldn't agree more. What was that next phase like for you that, you know, you did feel fulfilled? Like what part did you take from not being fulfilled to fulfilled that, you know, you were missing from the other piece?
100%. I mean, for me personally, like I liked traveling. I liked taking pictures. I liked making things. You know what I mean? I liked talking to people. I liked telling stories. Yeah, here we are telling stories, listening to stories. You know what I mean? But I feel like for me, you know, and again, like oddly enough, like I have a degree in design and photography. You know what I mean? Which is interesting for what I'm doing, like what I've built with Section Z. You know, I own a lighting company, like some of the other things that I do. But it's like, all roads kind of come back to like being creative and having community, which all kind of comes back to being an athlete. So it's like, it all kind of like in a weird, like, you know, taking a couple left turns, you know, way, like it all makes sense how I wound up here. But like, I think for me, it's a lot of like storytelling, a lot of camaraderie, a lot of community that kind of gets me back. And I took that with me to the next things that I did, you know, as you've taken so much with you to the next team that you're on.
I mean, I just want to call out how incredible of a job that you've done with the community that you've built. And you've taken so many parts of your past and created this beautiful movement for so many young women. And to be a part of it is incredible. So I want to thank you. But it's insane to hear from your perspective all these years of growth and taking pieces that you've had that have fulfilled you, that haven't fulfilled you, to create something that you're passionate and fully fulfilled in and run with it is incredible to see from this perspective.
I appreciate that. And I don't know, like sometimes I tell this story on the panel and I don't know, but it's interesting because when your world was kind of being turned upside down a little bit because of COVID and stuff, mine was too. Do you know this story? My accident and all that stuff?
No.
So the whole reason why I kind of really went on to start Section Z. And Section Z is like a nonprofit organization that I founded, and we create opportunity through sport. I founded it in 2023. We've taken over 2,000 girls to games. We do these panels and workshops, and it's all about, you know, career path and all that stuff. But so in 2020, I was in a really bad accident. It was March 6th, right before the world shut down. I think the world shut down like March like 14th, around there. I was tossed out of a golf cart. Flipped. It landed on my head. I was airlifted off Catalina Island. I had a brain injury and my face was ripped open. So my COVID experience was like, and listen, I'm very lucky. I had, you know, I was like by myself a lot, but like I had, you know, people in my community where I lived that like later I even made shirts that said like Z Army, because like obviously I know how to make t-shirts, but like I had people that helped and stuff, but like it was a very like I was just wanting my brain to work right during COVID. And people are like, wait, the world's shutting down. And I'm like, what do you mean? And people were bringing me food. Like it was a crazy experience. And one that kind of made me start thinking like I've done, like I had this clothing line. I traveled the world. I worked in morning radio. I was like, I had a show in Wisconsin on a country music station, which is hilarious all in itself. But like, I'm like, I've done all these like really fun, quote, like cool things. I'm like, but like, what does any of that mean? Like if I would have died, which again, I'm not like not woes me, but like if something else, if I would have been as lucky and if it would have been worse and I would have died, you know, like what do I have to show for it? You know, like what's the thing that I want to build that's kind of like bigger than me and that will live on if something happens to me? So that's kind of like, and then it was funny because I found myself at an Angel City game and I was like, you know, so pumped to go there. And I've told this story a couple times, but I was so pumped to go there. And then when I got there, there was this wave of sadness that came over me. And I was like, man, like, what would my life have been like if the landscape of women's sports was the way it is now when I was in high school? Like, how much more opportunity would I have? You know, like, even now I see flag football. Like, do you know what I would have done to have a girls flag football team, like, in high school? Like, it's mind-blowing. And, like, you're so excited that that's where it's at. But, like, being a human, you're also like, man, that sucks that I didn't have it. You know what I mean? So I had all these emotions and I was like, man, like this is the problem. And then I rolled back to like, I don't know if I would have been able to, if I would have had access and been able to come to the games and be part of this. So I'm like, that's the problem I want to solve and create these opportunities through sports. So that's kind of like how it all started. So COVID was a weird one for me too, but I'm really glad that I met you through all of this. You're very inspirational. I feel like the mindset you have, I feel like I want to high five your dad. I feel like, you know, girl, dad, yes, high five.
Girl, dad, yes.
Girl, I mean, that's really what it is, because I feel like there's been a lot of ways where, in a lot of instances in your life where you could have been pressured or talked into something wrong, not wrong, but like too harsh or in a way that didn't empower you. And I feel like, you know, your dad did a really good job of like straddling that line of like telling you what you need to hear as a child, but also creating a safe space for you to kind of like grow into that, which is really admirable.
Oh yeah. I couldn't have done it without both my mom and my dad. They've been champions in my corner. And my sister, I'll tell a little bit about my sisters, but my one right under me ran track and field at UCLA. And now she works for Tubi, which is Fox's live stream. She's doing amazing. Faith is at USC. She plays soccer. They are in the middle of their season right now. So first 3 out of 4 were all collegiate athletes, and we all have that same mindset of showing up every day to work hard and get after it.
Wait, so your sister's at UCLA now?
She graduated a few years ago, but yes, she was.
I was going to say, we got to go to a game.
Oh, we're going. You want to go to USC soccer game? Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I would go. I will 100% go. I don't know that I've ever been to a college soccer game.
They just unveiled a new stadium. You need to come and check this out.
We'll go.
Equivalent to a really good, even professional team level.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Awesome. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap? I really, really appreciate your time and you hanging out with me for a bit.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. Thank you for continuing to build this community. And I'm so grateful to be a part of it.
Oh, I really, really appreciate it. Thank you again so much for your time and sharing your story and being vulnerable. I think that that's what the world needs most right now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
I want to thank Michaela again, and thank you all for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow. You know, all the things you do wherever you find your podcasts. Have a good day.